What's up, Buckeye Nation, and welcome to another episode of Dot in the Eye with Davis and Chad. We are coming to you on one of the most dreadful weeks of the season, and I am talking about a bye week. But since we haven't touched base with you here since we beat Western Michigan, I think we're going to touch a little bit on that today, and then we'll touch a little bit on how we're getting ready to touch a little bit on Marshall, if you know what I'm saying. How you doing?
Dude, you're doing a lot of touching. I had to just get right in there. You're touching a lot of things right now.
Let me tell you something. You tend to touch a lot of things when nothing else touches you. You understand what I'm saying?
So you get the itch to touch because you're not being touched.
I mean, Puff Daddy just got indicted. What do you think?
Well, finally. They've been looking for that bastard for, what, 6 months?
He's been touching everybody.
Oh, my God. I mean, you're not lying. Oh, so, man. Anyways, yeah.
Back to football for a second.
Back to football. Dude, we're going to go off on tangents. I can guarantee you that. But anywho. Yes, the last episode we recorded, we were previewing Akron, the first game. We don't need to touch on that game other than, it, you know, me and you saw it in person together. We were a little disappointed for the start, and then it kind of got looking like the team that we expected to be. And I think when we finally saw Ohio State against Western Michigan, we really saw what our potential could be. This defense is just awesome. You know, I mean, you're talking about giving up less than 100 yards of offense an entire game without even getting a single turnover. And then you're also talking about a team that really should have scored on every single drive in the first half. And finally, rushing for like 6 touchdowns and 270 yards in a game. I mean, when's the last time Ohio State did that? You know, regardless of the opponent. So I think we're seeing a difference with Chip Kelly, you know, at the helm at offensive coordinator, and we're starting to see a little bit more of a run-happy offense. And I think especially with a quarterback style like Will Howard, that's exactly what this offense needs to focus more on. Now, I do agree that we have really good wide receivers. Obviously, J.J. Smith's freaking unreal. But I was extremely happy to see the growth that we made between Game 1 and Game 2.
I was, too. I was just a little bit disappointed in the Twitter sphere and Buckeye Nation. It's just, man, it's almost just like nothing's ever good enough. You know what I mean? Give them a couple of weeks. I said this the last time we were on here. You know, give it a couple of weeks, man. Let it gel together. Things are starting to happen, right? Judkins goes out, has himself a day, right? He couldn't do crap the first week. You know, Ignosen kind of showed up this versus Western Michigan, had 4 tackles. Downs had 4 tackles. Ty Hamilton had 4 tackles. Sonny had 4 tackles. So we're starting to start to gel. So, you know, I mean, let them go through the process, man. You know, as long as we're ready when the big game sits on our shoulders, then that's good. That's good for me. So, but I just hate all the negativity all the time, man. Let's ride, dude. This is the year. This is the year everybody's been waiting for and talking about. So let's ride. Shut the hell up and let's play football.
Yeah, it's hard to get on social media as an Ohio State fan. And I think that's just a generalized comment, regardless of the year, the time of the year, whatever. And Ohio State
it's
fans.
It's our fans. Our fans are idiots.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a special few because it's still the minority on social media that are willing to, you know, throw up this word vomit on all the different platforms and talk all this crap. It's still the minority. I mean, you know, I don't get on there and comment every single little thing that I see. You know, I try to take things holistically, and I also try to understand, you know, perspectively, where are we at in the season?
And well, I'm much more paid than you, so I've been screenshotting people, and I'm waiting.
Well, listen, dude, I'm about to go down that same path because, you know, I may be older, but I understand what taking receipts means nowadays. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking about going down that path as well. I've been taking receipts for these Michigan fans that have been talking all this crap over the last couple of years. And
dude,
I'll tell you what.
You remember Jay and Silent Bob were at the end of the movie? He like spends all of his money flying to everybody's house individually. And he's like, is your screen name? Did you say, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it just punches him. Like. It just punches him and then just walks off. And then he flies to the like Arizona. And he's like, hey, is your screen name a Joker 750? He goes, yeah. He goes, psh. Dude, you're bringing like, back dude. Some memories with that one.
Yeah, I know. Jay and Silent Bob.
But I mean, you're right. I mean, It's not that nothing's ever good enough. It's just you're seeking perfection. And in Ohio State, I think there's a portion of the fan base that does think a little unfairly that this has to be perfect. Like, no season's perfect. I mean, Georgia could still end up winning the national title this year. And look at the game they just had this past week against Kentucky. They probably should have lost the game. You know, nothing is ever going to be perfect. At some point this season, I can guarantee you.
Kentucky had them, dude. They had
them. I know. I don't want to talk about that because that screwed up my 6-game parlay and cost me at least $200. But I don't want to talk about that. But what I'm saying is at some point this season, Ohio State is going to go through something in a team that we don't feel like we should. We have a couple scary ones that are kind of like emerging on this schedule now that we didn't particularly think was going to be an issue. Like Nebraska is one of them.
Yeah. That, you know, week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not going to be smooth sailing, dude. It's not always going to look perfect. At some point, Will Howard's going to throw some picks. He's not going to go the whole season without not throwing a pick. I mean, CJ Stroud threw a couple, you know, Justin Fields threw some. Like, it's going to happen. There's going to be adversity in this season. I don't care how good we really think that our roster is. At some point, crap's going to hit the fan, and we're going to have to see what this team is made of. And we may be favored by 20-some points in a game and win by three. I don't know if that actually will occur, but I'm willing to bet at some point it probably will. Because yeah, probably that's so. Just the way college football works, man. So enjoy, scoring 108 points to 6 points for our first two. Enjoy being a top five offense and a top 10 offense and a top five defense right now. Like, enjoy what we have, because at some point things are going to get more difficult, and then we'll really see what this team is made of. Because, you know, we're not going to get it this week against Marshall. We're not going to get it the following week against Michigan State. And I really don't even think we're going to get a true test against Iowa. It's going to come down to, we're really going to see what this team is made of when we go to Eugene, Oregon, October
100%.
12th. 100%. And that's going to be the big test to finally see, okay, where do we really stack up? So, you know, reserve your feelings. And if we're not winning by 47 points and it doesn't make you happy, go sit in a corner and cry, please. Because, you know, this team still has some new pieces, a lot of veteran pieces. But we're going to be building and improving each week. As long as we keep getting a W, that's going to be the most important thing. Now, I understand against lesser opponents, we want to see it work, which I feel like we did this past week. But just people need to take a back seat a little bit and just chill.
Well, if you had to pick one negative thing to say at this point in the season, what would you say?
Negative. I'll be perfectly honest with you, man. And I'm normally the guy that's glass half full with this team. So I'm struggling with something that's truly negative. I don't like our tight end play. I think our tight end play in regards to the passing game has been ho-hum. And in the blocking scheme, it's not been great. I mean, we had a big long run for Quinn Sean that got called back on G Scott. And we definitely don't have a Cade Stover. And that's not going to be a vital part of our offense. And I think when you play against these better opponents, you need to have good tight end play, to be perfectly honest. So if I had any real complaint, it's the tight end position. I'm not excited with who we have. I know they're trying to throw Jelani Thurman out there. He doesn't look like he's quite ready yet. But I don't see a single tight end on the roster that I know is like a go-to type of person and someone that I trust blocking. And especially if we're going to be running a lot more run offenses with Chip Kelly, we need to make sure we have tight ends that know how to block. So my only complaint through the first 2 weeks, honestly, is just the tight end play.
I mean, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. I tend to agree with you on that. Also, for me, you know, I still want to see some more improvement on the offensive line. I just think we're just not there yet. I've spent a lot of time focusing on that because I know it's a problem. So I'm watching it more than I'm watching in any other position group on the field when I'm watching the games. But also, I'd like to see us get a little bit better on third down. And these are just nitpicky things. Like I said, we're playing great. I have no complaints, but these are just nitpicky things. Like if I had to pick something, it would be this. You know, last week we were 3 of 10 on third down. Like, to me, that's unacceptable. Like, we need to be better than that, especially against an inferior opponent like Western Michigan. You know what I mean? I would like to see that number rise and get a little bit better as we go, a little closer to 500 or above. The week before, we were 9 for 14, which I like. That's pretty good. But yeah, 3 of 10, dude, that's kind of crappy. So, you know, I'd like to see that a little bit improved. But that, like I said, we're just nitpicking stuff now.
I think that's more of a hidden stat when you're playing a bad team, because a lot of times, you know, you're in an area where you're going to go for it on fourth down. But I agree. I think offensively, if you had any complaint over the last couple weeks, especially last week, I mean, it's hard to have a complaint because it looked like an all around great performance. I would give an A grade on offense and defense. I mean, we got a shutout. We scored over 50 points. We had three different quarterbacks throw a passing touchdown. We had six rushing touchdowns. We had, what, almost 700 yards of offense. Like, it's hard to really nitpick what we did last week. And, you know, for all sake and purposes, I mean, a lot of people are considering Western Michigan to be a better team than what Akron was. So, I mean, because Western Michigan was actually the week prior to that, you know, leading Wisconsin in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's all relative, and I'm not going to sit here and play the transitive property because we can go down a rabbit hole with that thing. But at the end of the day, I really don't have a ton of complaints other than I just want to see this team gradually improve as the year goes on, because our bigger games are going to be happening mid to late season. I mean, we're going to go through a stretch where we have Oregon, then we're going to have Nebraska at home, then we're going to go on the road to Penn State, and then we have Michigan at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, like three or four of our last six, seven games, like we're kind of mid to back loaded in the season. So as long as we can keep improving, that's what I'm looking towards. So yeah. I really don't have a ton of complaints. And I'll be perfectly honest, I'm pleased with Will Howard at this point. He's doing exactly what, I had mentioned that we need him to do. He's not going to be CJ Stroud out there. He's not going to be Justin Fields out there and be flashy, but he just needs to be effective. He needs to take care of the ball. He needs to get it to the playmakers, and his stat line needs to be about, 65-66% passing rating. Percentage completion, and just needs to get the ball to the playmakers and let them do their thing. And so far, I think he's done that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, man. I think the biggest thing is people not being able to understand or not know exactly what Will Howard was. You know, a lot of the casual fans don't really do the research like we do and watch the film and watch K-State games to see, we knew what we were getting when he came here, and he's doing exactly what we said. And as a matter of fact, he's doing it very controlled. You know what I mean? We haven't seen kind of the wild Will Howard like you were talking about. We will see it, though. It will come. But I'm just saying, like, you can't expect him to not throw interceptions. You can't expect him to not make mistakes. That's who he is. But he is a serviceable quarterback, a game manager, and a guy who's really, really dangerous because of the tools he brings to the table. And I think that's going to be a benefit to us. And like you said, we are so spoiled with good quarterback play here, in the last decade plus at Ohio State, that, people think everybody has to be CJ Stroud or Justin Fields, and it's just not going to happen. So I think we need to get behind Will Howard, and kind of, respect him for what he is and hope that he can continue to do what we know he's going to do at a high level.
So let me touch on a couple things before we get into that touch. We're all about touching today. I don't know. There's a lot of touching going on in this episode, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know. You said touch multiple things. That's what you said.
You started here. Out the first 30 seconds.
You said, let me touch on a couple of things. I was like, well, that's on you, buddy.
Listen, I might be touching things at multiple times, but you were touching at the beginning of this episode. But I'm going to ask you this, because we obviously saw a different Quinshon Judkins last weekend. Based upon what you think at a high level, would you prefer to have Travion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins? Because I think we finally saw the Ole Miss version of Quinshon, and I think we have a pretty good idea of what Trey is. And I'm kind of torn, to be perfectly honest with you, because I think if I had to really choose which one I would feel is number one, not that it really matters in the grand scheme of it, but, if you had to choose, who are you kind of riding with?
Well, here's what kind of drives that for me. I feel like Travion is the more powerful runner. I feel like he's going to get you those extra yards. He's going to make somebody pay in the hole. Like, I feel like that a little bit more about him. I feel like Judkins, to be totally honest with you, is the more talented back, though. I feel like he has a higher upside. Travion's never really been a big play guy, never really been a guy to – I mean, he has some good games here and there, but he's really just not a guy that I expect a lot of explosive plays from. But I do see that with Judkins. So I feel like both of them have their upside and their downside. You know what I mean? Like, one's a more powerful runner that's really not going to break off anything big most of the time. The other one is not really that big. He's not going to make people pay, but also he has a huge upside in that. I feel like he could break big plays. So to be honest with you, dude, I'd be torn 50-50 on that. I think it's a great thing we have them both.
Yeah, I think it's a great 1-2 punch. I'm going to push back a little bit on the fact that you say Trey's not a big play running back. I mean, he's had some big plays. If you remember the Notre Dame game last year, we needed that big play out of him to kind of set things going. He's had several big plays.
What do you mean by big play?
I mean, what, like a 65, 70 yard touchdown run? You know,
how many times he's done that? I'll wait on that answer.
I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know he's done it at least 3-4 times.
Think about the running backs we've had in the recent future, though. He's done it way less than them.
I think you're not completely wrong, but I also think that we haven't had a complete year with a healthy Travion Henderson to see what he is 100% capable of doing. And I think we have our best chance this year with Quinshon splitting carries with him to keep him as healthy as possible. So I think you're going to see him flash more. Another reason I really like Trey is he's a lot more involved in the passing game than what Quinshon is. At least we haven't seen that part of it yet. Quinshon, I think from handing the ball off, I agree, is probably the flashier runner and more of risk of, you know, exploding for a big play. But I think Trey is a better blocker. I mean, we obviously saw that in the past game. He made a crucial block. I mean, put a linebacker on his ass.
Absolutely. Dude, he's a more stout guy. I mean, he's, you know, more, I mean, he's stout, a more powerful stout
but
guy.
But I think Trey might be a more all-round running back because you need them to block. You need them to be part of the passing game. You need them to run. And I think Quinshon is going to be a little flashier. So I think it's a good 1-2 punch. But, I mean, you're right. It's splitting hairs. It's 50-50. I don't even know if I could decide which one I prefer better.
Let me ask you this. In the media guide, who do you think would be listed 1 and 2?
Well, actually, I think the better – well, I don't know if the better question is who would be drafted higher because the NFL, you know, definitely –
No, I said in the media guide, who would be listed 1 and 2?
You know, I think it's Trey, and I think it's Trey because he's been at Ohio State. I don't know if that's accurate, but I think it's Trey. Now, running back just – based purely on rushing the ball skill, I think Quinshon has the upper hand in that. But I think if you're looking at the all-around position, blocking, receiving, doing everything, I would go with Trey. So, I mean, again, we're splitting hairs.
Well, officially, Trey's listed number 2. That's why I was asking that.
Well, I've not seen Quinshon start a game yet in 2 games. Have you?
Well, no, but I'm just saying on the depth chart, he's listed as the backup.
Well, I don't know how accurate that is. I mean, I honestly think we'll really know who's number 1, who's number 2 when we go to Oregon. Because that's that, you know, in that big time game, you're putting best on best right off the rip. Whoever starts game is who Ohio State thinks is the number 1 running back.
I mean, it's true. Yeah.
And well,
let's talk about Marshall, man, because I want to get into the game that we got going on here. So Marshall, obviously, unless you're living under a rock, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. We got Marshall this Saturday, noon on Fox. They're 1-1. They beat Stony Brook their first game of the year, 45-3, and just absolutely dominated that game. 549 total yards of offense. I think that's like the first time, I can't remember what they said, in X amount of years that school has done that. And then they turn around and go to Virginia Tech and just get absolutely hammered. Turn around and have 278 total yards of offense. And, dude, rush the ball 51 times. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
A lot of carrying the ball.
Anyways, when you don't have faith in your quarterback, especially when you trail in that game most of the game.
Exactly. Well, the first game versus Stony Brook, they used all 3 quarterbacks that they had. They went with 1 starter in the Virginia Tech game, and he carried him through that. They decided on a quarterback, went with him. It did not go well. Of course, Virginia Tech has outmatched them, you know, just based on talent alone in a lot of positions. So, you know, they lost that game 31-14 on the road. So now they're coming in here to Columbus. And I think, like I said, these first 3 games are really hard to talk about because we all kind of know what they're going to be. I do like Marshall, though. Their movie's awesome. You know what I mean? You got to respect it.
Well, speaking of respect, we forgot to mention how much we respect additional flavors.
And it is your turn to do the read. Let's see how you do.
That is one of our sponsors, Additional Flavors. They have all kinds of different spices and rubs. They send us free samples all the time. We legitimately cook with them. They're awesome. At our next live episode, we will be giving some more of their different rubs and spices away. So if you haven't had a chance yet, go visit additionalflavors.com. You can see all the different things, and you can order some stuff. We also have a link on our website on dtipodcast.com. So if you haven't been over there yet, check that out. But yeah, Additional Flavors. I don't know what else to say other than
it's legit, website. Man.
Yeah, the check website. The website. Check no, the you website.
You got to give the link to the website. You got to give it because that's where you always give me crap. Let's hear it.
www.
Oh, hell no.
Dot additionalflavors.com. I learned my lesson. I'm not going to sit here and fumble over this like you do because you sit there and you get so excitable. It's www.
Well, if I wouldn't, dude, if I would have done it like you did, if I would have been like www.
Right.
It's like when we were kids and we're watching freaking Sunday morning TV and they're like, today's letters W.
Oh, man. So give me this. What do you expect to see in this game here? And tell me kind of, you know, maybe give me who you think is going to be a standout on offense, standout on defense. And then, you know, we'll just go from there.
Well, interesting fact, where I live about 20 minutes from Marshall's campus. I'm down in eastern Kentucky, right on the border of West Virginia, and right across the border is Huntington. I'm actually over there quite often. I drive past the campus quite a bit. Huntington has a ton of crime. I don't know what else to tell you.
I was gonna say
you turn there. I mean, listen, it's not meth. It's not meth. Apparently there's some kingpins that came down from Michigan several years ago, and there's just a lot of chaos going on down there. So, but anywho, that has nothing to do with Marshall football. I just thought I'd throw that.
I feel terrible for absolutely just disrespecting the whole school and right
now. Listen, it's hard to live around there, man. They do have a Chipotle though, so I'll give them credit. It's the closest Chipotle around. But anywho,
nice.
Marshall is kind of a storied program historically. Obviously, we know the movie. We know, I mean, they're actually not too far from there. There's actually the burial site where, you know, the plane accident happened and the football team and that whole history. I mean, you're aware if you've seen the movie, we are Marshall. But in regards to this game, let's get to the game. I'm sitting here jabbering about nothing. But I the last time we played this team was interesting. Do you recall the last time we played Marshall? It was what, maybe 20 years ago, and we end up having a win on a last second field goal by Nugent.
No, but and I'll tell you this much: being an Ohio State fan, that statement does not shock me.
Right. Well, but anywho, so the last time we did face them, and it was a home game. We won 24-21 and won a last second field goal. That is not going to happen this week. We are 40-point favorites. I think there's a very good chance that we do cover that spread. I have not been following Marshall much. I did watch a little bit of that Virginia Tech game. They ended up losing 31-17 or 31-14, something like that. But I think the expectations for Ohio State this year are so high. I think it's reasonable expectations just based upon who we've brought back and what we've seen over the first couple games in dominating fashion. So I'm expecting to see a lot of the same thing. I don't think you're going to see anything too crazy flashy. I think you're going to see solid football. I think you're going to see solid defense. I'm expecting for the running game to kind of pick up where they left off last game. And I think that's going to be more of our MO this year, which is not particularly a Ryan Day offense, but he's not calling the plays anymore. So you're going to see more of this Chip Kelly offense, where if you look at our yardage, it's going to be 50-50, if not more rushing yards than passing yards. So I think, you know, reasonable expectations are going to be that Will Howard is just going to have maybe a solid day of around 200, 240 yards passing, maybe a couple touchdowns, maybe a rushing touchdown, and some more of over 200, 250 yards rushing and 3 to 4 touchdowns. That's yep. kind of where I'm at. I mean, I don't think there's any need to really break down the X's and O's of this game because honestly, I'm seeing this as yet another blowout, which we kind of, you know, anticipated when we saw the schedule in advance. Like, these first three games is like our preseason, and then we get into Big Ten play, and we still kind of have an easy road until we get to Eugene. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Well, I mean, I can't disagree with you. I will say there is a little something, though, that I am excited about seeing, and you're going to roll your eyes right now. But I got to be honest, I'm kind of looking forward to when we get into the second and third string quarterbacks, because I think we will at some point. And I'm kind of – I got to be honest, dude. I think there's a little bit of competition going on there. I'm going to be honest. From what we've seen so far, I'd like to see a little bit more. I'm not willing to comment on it right now. But I do think that there is a healthy competition going on between Devin Brown and Julian Sain right now for that second spot. I really do believe that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that's worth noting. If you honestly want to look back at the Western Michigan game, obviously our number two technically as of right now is Devin Brown. He came in, and I know I've been high on him for a while, and I'll be perfectly honest, he looked good. He really did. He moved the, you know, moved the ball down the field, had a passing touchdown, looked pretty solid. He made a couple really excellent throws on the run. He looked accurate. Julian Sain comes in, and thankfully, they didn't force him to hand the ball off every single time. They gave him an opportunity, and what does he do? He throws a touchdown to a tight end for, what, 60 yards? So I'm pleasantly surprised in the fact that finally we're getting some backups in, and they're getting more true game experience other than turn to hand the ball off.
Absolutely. Dude, I have to say this, though. This is what's fueling this for me. Last week, I thought Julian Sain looked exponentially better in that week. I'm not saying he is better. I'm saying in that instance, he looked better.
But, you know, those moments are so important because in the past, Julian Sain probably wouldn't be getting in the game. And even if he did, he'd be handing the ball off to whatever that third, fourth string running back is, to the third, fourth string offensive line. And we would just basically be trying to kill out the clock. And that's not reasonable game experience. I don't care that he's out there. He's a signal caller. He needs to be able to read a defense. He needs to be able to see, understand what the play is and read the defense and whether or not that pass is there or a check down. And he needs like live game stuff that matters.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen on how he reacted, I mean, all signs are pointing to he's the future of our program. I don't know what that's going to look like. If, say, Will Howard goes down at some point, God forbid, if he's going to really realistically be the person that we're going to call upon, or if it's going to be Devin Brown, or what happens next year when Tavian St. Clair comes in.
Because mine feels a little bit different, but on your gut.
Well, that's because you drink a lot of alcohol.
Well, no, that is. But I drink a lot of Pepto to combat that. So well,
you do look bloated. I didn't want to tell you last time I saw you, but I was like, the bloat factor is kind of, it's a little heavy.
Well, that's being 40 plus years old, man, with two kids.
Dude, speaking of being 40 plus years old, I crap you not, dude. I woke up this past Sunday morning, and I couldn't lift my right arm above my shoulder, and my left knee was swollen. And wife looks at me, she's like, what the hell's wrong with you? What did you do? And I said, I woke up, and I was 41. I was like, yep. I don't have an explanation. I didn't do anything. I just woke up, and I couldn't use two different parts of my body. Like, I feel like that's now the new expectation when you turn 40.
It almost is.
Or 41, or whatever the case may be.
Well, let me ask you, just gut feeling right now. Okay, you're Ryan Day. You know, eighth game of the season.
All right, hold on a sec. Let me get into Ryan Day form.
Did you smack your cheeks on both sides and make them red a little bit?
Yeah, hold on. Okay, let me work on that. And then we don't have the injury report right now.
I'll have to watch the tape.
Okay. I'll have to watch. Yeah, dude, I'll have to watch the footage. I don't know. Okay, I'm Ryan Day. Go for it.
Game 8, he goes down. Similar situation as to, you know, the national championship year with Cardale. Right now, in your gut, who do you think gives you the best chance to win of the backup quarterbacks today?
The homer in me, okay, I got to be Ryan Day, but the homer in me wants to say Devin Brown just because I still feel like he has something to prove. I feel like he has been with the program longer. He at least has a little more game experience. But I think the upside has to be with Julian Sand. And I think, you know, as long as we can get through some critical matchups with him, I think we have a good enough defense that we could afford to struggle on offense and still pull out games while giving him some valuable reps. And with him already potentially being the future of the program, I think you have to go Julian Sand, because why would you put Devin Brown in if it's very similar? Because Devin Brown doesn't have a ton of experience. And especially knowing that there's a very good chance next year, Devin Brown is either going to transfer out or he's just going to continue to ride backup, because he's not going to win the job next year. I'm sorry. You know, I've gotten off
that
train. I know
you and I both agreed on that. He's probably, you know,
I've gotten off that train this year. Yeah, I said he'll never start at Ohio State.
He's not going
to. No, he's not going to. He's not. He's never going to earn the starting role. At some point, he may start if there's some issue, like within the next few games. But he's not going to earn the starting role simply off of performance anymore. I think that ship has sailed. I think it is the future of the program rides with Julian Sand and or Aaron Nolan. And then you obviously have Tavian St. Clair coming in next year, highly touted five-star out of Ohio. And I think the future is bright at quarterback, and there's just no place for Lincoln Kienholz or Devin Brown. And if they choose to stay with the program, more power to them. And I'll love them as a Buckeye, but they're not going to earn the starting role. So I think if something happens mid, late season, I think it could potentially be like Devin Brown, maybe just trying to fill a role for a little bit. But ultimately, I think, you know, if it has to be like a more permanent fix, you go through one of the young guys.
I start Julian Sand, and I'm going to tell you why. I have nothing against any of the other quarterbacks on the roster, but here's my thought process here. We have done a one-and-done quarterback too much lately, too much, to where it's like we got a new quarterback, right, coming out of camp, or there's a battle in camp, and we don't know who's going to start, and then we find out who's going to start, and then we have to give them four or five games to kind of get their footing and see what they're going to be, and then we, you know, find out who they are, and then we get pissed off, and it's like, for once, you know what I'd like? Our starting quarterback to be a returning starting quarterback. So if he was to go down in game eight or whatever, I say, dude, you know for a fact he's going to be your guy next year. Let him roll. Let him roll. Who gives a damn if he throws some interceptions? You know what I mean? We're not expected to do anything at that point really anyway. You know what I mean? And we're still going to win some games. Probably, you know, I doubt very highly. I mean, it could happen. It has happened. But I'm just saying I doubt very highly. Like at that point, we're like national championship contender. But I'm just saying, like, why not give him the game experience? Let him play under the lights. Let him get it under his belt, man. Let him get another four games in a bowl game, possibly, if we're lucky, a Big Ten championship game. Get a game versus Michigan in under his belt. Like, let him get all that stuff, man. And then next year, dude, it won't be like, I wonder who's going to be the starting quarterback at a camp. Like, it'll be, we have a returning starter with some game experience. He's played in the big game. He's played versus a team up north, and we're ready to roll.
I don't totally disagree with you. I mean, I'm more in agreement than I'm not, but I think a lot still has to do with circumstance of if that ends up being the case and we have to go with someone other than Will Howard for whatever reason it may be. It's still important that we see where we are in the national landscape of college football this year, because it's pretty wide known, especially with the Ohio State fan base, that this has almost got to be the year. You know, we've brought so much talent back. Like, we're as loaded as we might be in the next handful of years, because we're going to be losing a ton of talent to the NFL draft at the end of this year.
To targeting calls, whichever one.
We're not going down that path. That's a whole nother ballgame. But you understand what I'm saying? That, yeah. You know, I understand. I think Julian Sand and or Aaron Nolan, whichever route you may take, is a lot more of the future of this program than what Devin Brown is at this point. But if we are in a position where we still haven't lost a game, or we've only lost one game, and we need Devin and we need someone to come in, are you going to trust the rest of the season with still the expectation that this has got to be the year that we at least get through the playoffs to a title game with Julian Sand
or with Devin Brown? Dude, I just don't trust Devin Brown. I just don't trust him. There's something about him. It's just I just don't think he's good, man. I hate to say that. Like, I'd rather have a freshman with a little bit that I know his upside is so much higher.
Yeah, but his upside's not going to be ready.
I mean, you're never ready till you are, bud. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying. And I'm just kind of being the devil's advocate when I'm saying that.
You're not wrong, dude. And you know what? That's the other half of the argument. That's the other half that every sane person in America, if they listen to this, that it's going to be happening with themselves and each other, is you're right. I don't think there really is a wrong answer. In my heart, I feel like Devin Brown cannot lead this team to victory. I do not believe that he is good enough to lead this team somewhere. Julian Sand, I believe, has enough talent to lead us there. Now, does he have the experience? Maybe not. But I'd almost rather live and die with the talent.
Right. And I always look towards the future of the program. And I think one thing that is probably jaded us to why we're thinking more this way is just because of the past handful of years at Ohio State. We have not really put some key young players in meaningful situations when we probably should have. And then when it's finally their turn to roll, I feel like there's a bigger learning curve that shouldn't have been there. So I think we're a little scarred from that happening in the past.
Let me ask you this. When was the last time we had a multi-year starter at quarterback?
It's been Stroud. It's been a couple years. We had Justin Fields did a couple years, but then you're right. I mean, we had 1 year of Dwayne Haskins. I mean, then we had multiple years of JT Barrett. So it's kind of been a little on again, off again.
Too many years of JT Barrett.
Again, off. Go on. We're not going down that rabbit hole.
They're like, oh, he's the leading pass. But yeah, well, he's been here for a decade. Of course he is.
That's right.
All right, so, man. Tell us about the prop bets this week.
Yeah. Well, before I even do prop bets, dude, I know we've not even prefaced this other part at all, but I want a score prediction. So the stat line runs, at least on, I think, BetESPN, is the spread is 40 and the over-under is set at 51. So knowing that, I'm not asking what you feel on that, but obviously your score prediction is probably going to tell you where you're at. I'll let you go first. What is your score prediction for Ohio State against Marshall?
I'm going to go 52-6 Bucks, and that is six, meaning two field goals.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with the fact that I don't think we give up a touchdown again. I think we're going to continue this stretch of three straight games without giving up a touchdown. At least I'm going to say the defense. Now, something weird could happen. There could be a tip pass and a pick six or some sort of fumble. Who knows? I at least don't think the defense is going to give a touchdown. But I'm going to go more along the lines of 45-3. I think that the offense is going to continue to try some new things. I think some things are going to work. Some things may not. But I think Marshall is probably still at least a little bit more of a step up from the MAC teams. Maybe not by much. So I'm going to go a little bit lower this week on the offensive production, but I still think the defense keeps them pretty much almost a shutout. So I'm going to say 45-3.
Okay.
Okay, so the three prop bets we have for this week, and if you go on the website and look, I haven't updated it yet. I apologize. I'm working on it. I will get it done, but we still have to update the prop bets, and as of right now, I am up 2-1. I won two of the last three on the first one we did. We did not do prop bets for the Western Michigan game, but we definitely have some for this Marshall game. And the first one is, will Will Howard have a rushing touchdown of this game? And I say yes. Chad says no. Next one, who's going to get more yards, Trey or Quinshon? That's the big question. I said, let's go with Trey this week, and Chad sticks with Quinshon coming off his last hot game.
I think he's coming out of his shell a little bit, man. I think the play calling kind of favored him a little bit last week, and the first week it really didn't. I think he's just found his way, dude. I think he's going to continue to produce.
That felt very scripted. Did you have that written down by chance?
No, I didn't. It's just what I really think. That
it
I
literally also think
you
that sounded,
you should go to www.additionalflavors.com.
See, you haven't been drinking that much this episode, dude. You said that like very fluently.
It was like a tongue roll, like
I'm proud of you. That was great. He almost sounded like when you were quoting that, you sound like Bob Uecker, like, and here. Okay. And then the last one we have is J.J. Smith. We got to touch on J.J.
Oh, my Lord. Because
we're doing all kinds of touching this episode. So let's just keep the touching going.
Oh, my Lord.
We're touching everybody.
Ah, dude, I'll see you at church. Oh, man.
No, seriously, what? Like, my microphone cut out. What did you
say? I said, I'll see you at church Sunday. We both need to go.
Oh, first of all, raise your hand if you've been to church the last 3 weeks in a row.
You don't even know what I'm doing. By the way, you don't know what I'm doing.
Do you even know how to spell church anymore?
I do. It's K-N-O-B-C-R-E-E-K.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't even know what you spelled. The second it started with a K, I knew we were in trouble.
Oh, all right.
J.J. Smith, Jeremiah Smith, over under, set it. I have no idea what the actual bet is, but we set it at over under 1.5 touchdowns. I think he's going to go nuts. I think I'm seeing at least 2 Jeremiah Smith touchdowns this week. Chad says 1 or fewer. So those are our 3 prop bets for this week. Like I said, I'm currently up 2-1 on the year. We still have not yet established what my punishment is going to be for my loss in the prop bets last year. No, that's going to have to be something that me and you have a discussion with. I don't know if we bring it up to a vote.
Well, I got to be honest. He was here a couple of weeks ago helping me work on the deck. I'm building a deck. Just idiot. Terrible mistake. But I'm building a deck. And Davis was up here helping me. And to be honest with you, man, the amount of work that everybody put in, it just felt absolutely inhumane to try to punish anybody during that.
Well, we had intentions. We had intentions of discussing that. And the second I walked in, you handed me a drill and about 17 screws and said, let's get to work. Like, I didn't even get a chance to, like, turn my car off. Like, you met me at the road and you said, hey, grab this. Let's go. And
it was like when my dad was I remember a couple of times that I had done something stupid and my mom told my dad and she had wanted him to whoop my ass fairly firmly, which he was no stranger to. And I remember like a couple of times him just coming in my room and being like, dude, I'm tired. I don't want to do it. Can you just knock that shit off, please? Like
he's like, can you just freaking cry right now and just go I'm up tired, and ask man. Mom why? Just so that way, just act. Listen, I've done that 3 different times at home. Like Hendrix downstairs losing his crap over something. His wife gives me this look like, go handle that. I go downstairs and I'm like, Hendrix, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, just tell mom I beat you senseless, okay? Please. And just shut up, all right? Yep.
Exactly. I remember that. And I just, like, because I thought I was going to get killed, obviously. You know what I mean? And I just, I shut up, like, immediately. I didn't do it again. Like, that was actually more effective than me taking, you know, the apple.
Yeah, it is. It is funny because Hendrick looked at me right off the bat expecting to get his butt tore up. And he looks at me and I'm like, I'm tired, dude. I don't want to do this. He goes, okay, Dad, I'll tell you what. Listen, I'll go up and tell Mom whatever you want me to tell her. I was like, well, sounds to me like I found a different path to this thing. Like, all I got to do is just have the threat of it and then I can get him to do whatever he needs.
That's funny, man.
So,
hey, dude, we're going to wrap this thing up, man.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up, dude. Apologize missing last week, dude. We just got lives. It's chaotic. We're kind of just we have young kids, man. We have young kids. We have families. Sometimes crap happens. We apologize in the middle of the season.
It was kind of a traumatic experience here because it wasn't just that he died. It was kind of the days that led up to it. It was pretty rough. So, you know,
he's family, man. He's family, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Obviously, I've known you way before that. But, you know, he's been with you for over a decade.
Yeah,
he's a family. He's a family member. So
it is, dude, you know,
stuff happens.
Explaining that kind of thing to young kids is a whole nother deal that have never dealt with it. So it just provided its own set of challenges. You know what I mean? Through the whole thing. But, you know, the good news is no one was touched.
No. First of all, dude, I was trying to say something heartfelt and you went right back to being touched again, dude. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Well, I didn't want it to be like
Like, know, I was going to be like, rest in peace, there. Bronx. Like, dude, you're up there just chasing, you're just up there chasing cats and eating freaking pepperonis and just having the time of your life. And you're sitting here talking about being touched again. Hey, like, man, I can't.
I'm from Ohio. We eat cats, apparently. And, but I will say this, dude, my dog, you know, I love that dog to death. But I will say he had the best nickname of all time, Brad. LeBronx James. That is the best nickname.
LeBronx. Yep.
Yeah, of all
the LeBronx.
Anyways,
and,
dude.
And I think it's the only guy that's loved my wife more than I've loved her.
100%, bud. 100%. If he could have been, Anna would have been pregnant.
Dear God. We've skirted on bestiality on this thing? Are you kidding me?
Dude, he loved her. You know what I'm saying, too.
Dude, we can't. No. I mean, if this makes the cut, I apologize for listeners that stuck with us this long. But dear God, you cannot go down that road. You took that way too far.
I'm just saying, he was neutered at a young age. You
know? But dude, he loved her to death, dude. Anytime Anna was in town, Bronx is like, screw all the rest of you. I've known you for the rest of my life. I'm gonna go sit on her lap.
Yep.
And he didn't give a crap about you, didn't give a crap about Sam, didn't give a crap about your entire family. He's like, Anna's here. Peace out.
Blondes, bud. I could feel it.
Well, she's a brunette.
Well,
I'm a brunette.
Yeah, in your bra.
Yeah, in your bra.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hey, we appreciate everybody listening. Like I said, sorry we had to take some time off, but hey, it is what it is. We're back now. So, thanks for listening, and make sure you watch the Buckeyes this Saturday as we hopefully stomp out Marshall pretty good, and then we'll be back next week to talk about it. And, yeah, like I said, we always appreciate all our listeners and, you know, all the time that you guys take out of your schedule to listen to us, and, you know, we appreciate it. Make sure you check out our website, and, yeah, Davis, tell them where to find us.
Yeah, man, you said it all. Said it all, homie.
Said it all. Said it all. Forrest Gump.
But a stump. Oi! All right. I keep touching.
You there?
Every time I touch my mic, I do that. That's all right. Just leave that shit in. All right.
And the touching continues. Go
on. Yeah. And dude, I've touched my mic. I'm tired of touching things tonight. I'm done touching. Remind me next week to not touch my mic. We're not talking about touching for a while. All right. If you're still here listening and we haven't completely scared you off, we appreciate you listening, and you can catch all of our episodes on all major streaming services. We're on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. We do have a YouTube channel, even though we don't post a lot of stuff on there. We have some old stuff, a couple of videos on there if you want to go back and listen to our old stuff. We may dabble more in that in the future. We haven't really discussed that yet. But anyways, we also have a Facebook page. We are on X. And like Chad mentioned, we are also have a website page. That is www.dtipodcast.com. And
I wasn't going to say anything. I wanted you to have your moment, so I wasn't going to say anything.
Listen. I'm so terrified of like slurring that up like you have that I'm like so conscientious of making sure I say each W. But anywho, www, and of course I do that, .dtipodcast.com. Anywho, we appreciate everyone. We do still want to have some news about a live upcoming episode like we did last year. We don't have the details on that yet. So at least stay current with us, and we will let you know once we have more info on that. But until next time, guys, we appreciate everyone listening, all the support. It's been awesome, and we're looking forward to getting ready to get into the Big Ten season here within next week. And until next time, guys, go Bucks. OH!